gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be dressed for action, and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi, guys. You look awfully serious. Well, I brought something along, and this is something that I might wear. I might. You think it would be a nice thing to wear? You like that? Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
What does that say about me? What is that? It's a dollar sign, isn't it? A money sign? And if I hang that, then it's gold even, doesn't it? Does that say I'm rich? Doesn't? Well, I thought it would tell people I was rich. Well, I usually don't wear that because I'm not rich. And besides, I don't think that's something I want people to know about me. But I do have something else that I like to wear. Here. This is one I like to wear. What does this say about me? I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus and the cross. That tells a whole lot. Do you have, I don't see any of you wearing necklaces. You don't have any necklaces? Do you have anything in your pocket that shows that you're a Christian? You don't? Well, if I give you one, would you carry it in your pocket for a while? Would you? Okay. What's this one say? That's a cross. Would you like to carry that in your pocket? All right. So it tells people about you. Let's see. Here's another one. And here's another one. And let's see. I'm out of that kind, but I have this kind. And what do each of those say about you?
Christians.
You're Christians? And what about yours? What is it?
Hands,
what are they doing? Are they praying? Praying hands. So it means that you're praying. Well, I got some others here, but they don't really say that. But sometimes what we carry in our pockets or what we wear as jewelry says a lot about us. So if somebody says, "Are you really a believer, Tana? Are you? What do you have in your pocket?" Well, no, what are you going to put in your pocket? What is it? Yeah, that tells all about you. Now, suppose it was illegal and you get arrested. In fact, they'd even say shoot you if you were a Christian. Would they find any evidence on you? What's in your pocket? Aha! That shows you're a Christian, right? So, Jesus wants us to be witnesses. And he wants us to pray. Last week we talked about, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. And we need to pray that too. So, how would it be if we pray now? Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us signs and symbols that we can carry and wear that show that we belong to you. Bless us so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Well, if any of you have been following my sermon titles, you might have noticed that I follow kind of a pattern. In fact, I look way ahead at the lessons that we will have. I've looked ahead. I think I have sermon titles for the next couple of months because I like to see a flow. And those of you who may have been here a few weeks ago might remember that I asked the question, what do you say to God? And we talked about how Sarah and Abraham, who didn't have any children, were told that they were going to have a child. And what was Sarah's response? She laughed. Right. So I asked, how do you respond to God? The next week, I followed that up by asking, what do you say to God? How do you talk to God? Do you use big, lofty words, big words that really impress God? Or do you talk right down where you live? Do you talk in a language that is like you would talk to your best friend? Intimate, close relationship. Or as Jesus said, Abba, or his daddy, or we could say mommy, as you would talk to somebody you really love and trust. Well, last week, I asked, well, what's it all about? What does it mean to have God speak to us? And what does it mean for us to speak to God? Do we really live what we say? Do we put it in our hearts so that it is part of our heart, our mind, our soul? Well, this week, I wanted to pick up on that because sometimes what we say we believe and what we talk about in church is more like water off a duck's back, you know, or as some people say, in one ear and out the other, and then we go home and do our own thing. But does it really mean anything? And since I use that phrase, like water off a duck's back, if that's the way our faith is, it's pretty empty. So I picked up on a phrase from Steve Martin, the comedian. What do you say to a duck? Now, how many know how to talk duck? You see what we got? We've got a problem right from the very beginning. Nobody knows how to talk duck. And, oh, do you? Very good. You got your own duck call.
That's correct.
I didn't even think about that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, everybody should be able to talk to a duck. You know, Steve Martin says, the question is, how do you do it? Do you say duck, 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 duck? Or do you blow a horn? Or do you say, oh, duck, wonderful duck? You know, well, however you want to talk to a duck. But the point was, you should practice talking to a duck. Because otherwise, when it comes an opportunity to talk to a duck, you won't have a clue how to do it. Well, the same thing is true when you talk to God. If you don't talk to God, and you don't practice talking to God, you won't know what to do when the opportunity comes. I studied German when I was in college, and then I didn't study it again for another 20 years. And boy, when I went to Germany, I was practically lost. I had to relearn everything I'd lost. And then we studied at Heidelberg University for a month and really got my German down. But that's been several years ago, so if I meet with somebody who speaks German, I really have to work at it. We have to practice. We have to learn what it really means to speak God's language. And in that regard, there was an article in a paper in India where a Hindu writer was recommending to all of India that they adopt American Christianity. And the reason he said that, he said, in India, we give all to our religion and make ourselves poor. But American Christians, it's the cheapest religion in the world. They spend more on gasoline. They spend more on sports and their toys, their big toys, than they do on their faith that they claim to believe in. Wow. What an indictment. And yet, we are called upon to have the kind of faith that sees us through. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is our heart? Where is our soul? Where are we in terms of all of the things that we say we believe? Abraham had a tremendous faith. He was a wealthy man by all standards. He had cattle, he had sheep, he had goats, he had donkeys, he had camels. In terms of the world around him in the nomadic world, he had everything he could hope for, except one thing. He didn't have a son. And he prayed for it. And as we study through the book of Genesis, we realize he did a little bit of trying to manipulate God too. In fact, it's in this first reading from Genesis today. He says, well, God, you know what? Since you haven't given me a son, I have a solution to this. Eliezer is a servant who has been like a son to me. I'll just adopt him, and that'll take care of it. But notice that God says, no, that wasn't my plan. I promised you a son, and you will have a son. Abraham's faith in God and what God would do was incredible. Our problem quite often is that we have what one song refers to as the Gimme God Blues. It's from a musical, a Broadway musical called For Heaven's Sake. Now, I can't sing it. Have any of you heard of it? Have you? You've heard it. Okay, great. Well, I'll read a portion of it. It's a longer one, but it goes like this. I got the gimme God blues. I got the gimme God blues. Because God won't gimme what I want him to gimme. I got the gimme God blues. Want to be healthy. Want to be wise. Want to have all that money buys. The best of clothes, the smartest of schools, the king of breeding, the thoroughbred nose. Want to have talent, want to have fame, marry a man or a woman with a very great big name. Want to take everything worth being took. Want to shake down heaven till the heavens shook. And then the refrain again, I got the gimme God blues. Because God won't gimme what I want God to give me. Because when I get what I want to get, I always want what I haven't got yet. And when that's gotten, you can bet what I got wasn't what I thought I'd get. Oh, gimme, 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 gimme all I want. Gimme, God. Well, I think in some sense, aren't we all a little bit like that? We have that gimme God blues. We want God to gimme, gimme, gimme all of this. without thinking about what it really means. What are we going to do with it? And why do we want it? What's it for? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are we here just to accumulate, to gain for ourselves, so that we can stockpile it, so that we can have it for our own keeping? Or have we decided ourselves to put our faith and our trust in the one who gives us new life? Jesus tells his disciples over and over again that our, and in fact we read that in the book of Hebrews also, that our true home is not here, but in heaven. That we can accumulate all we want here on earth, but we can't take it with us. Our true faith is within us, within our heart. The prophets led the patriarchs through the wilderness in many ways. But Jesus leads his disciples and teaches them as they go. I've told some people a story about the pet store where they had this big fish tank they put in the window. Anybody remember me telling? Well, maybe I didn't tell anybody. Okay. Well, anyway, they put this big fish tank in there that had water in it and a sign that said, Tasmanian invisible fish. Ichthyologius rarebus. And then a little sign that said on the side, 4 females and 2 males from New Zealand. Well, people would come and stare at that bowl and say, well, I can't see anything. How do you know that they're in there? And one little boy was watching very carefully. He said, I saw the water move. It's got to be in there. Somebody said, well, how in the world could you count those fish and find out that there were any really in there? And the owner said, I dip them out with my little net, and then I dump them out, and I count the splashes. Well, the disciples didn't have to count splashes on the water. They could look to the one who walked on water. And when it came time for John the Baptist to ask the crucial question, are you the Messiah? Are you the living one? Jesus didn't say, yep, I'm him. Didn't put a great big sign on himself saying Messiah. He said, no. Tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. Wow. Every good Jew knew that those were the signs of the Messiah. Jesus didn't have to say any more because John would have known. His disciples knew, and his disciples followed all the way to the cross. They had seen and witnessed all of that as Jesus carried them through all the way, not only to the cross, but beyond. The question always for us is, have we learned to speak the language of God? And have we learned to carry that language beyond? Do we carry it with us, either in our pocket as a necklace or in our lives, sharing the good news as we go, so that people will not have to say, are you a Christian? Are you really a follower of Christ? Or are you just saying that? Do you live it in your whole life? And as a congregation, we have to ask also, what is it that God has in mind for us? You know, he made a promise to Abraham that he would give him a son. And he gave him Isaac. And now he gives us a promise. Do we think that God has brought us this far in 100 years to say, well, that's all. Just close the doors and let it all go. Or do you really believe, as I do, that God has called us and gathered us and enlightened us with his gifts so that we can be his witnesses in the world? So that we can talk duck, if we have to talk duck, but we can also talk the Word of God, because we know the Word of God in our hearts. For that's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.